Bringing people together for a common purpose is nothing new. It's been going on for as long as we've had people, really. But the term community organizing came into vogue a few decades ago and stuck around for a while. Our next guest was probably there when the term started getting widespread use, and he's still at it. Dr. David Walls has a half century of community organizing under his belt, teaches college courses in organizing, and wrote a book about it. He's usually in the North Bay area in California, but visiting the Rogue Valley to give a talk tonight at 6 at the First Congregational United Church of Christ in Ashland, invited by Rogue Climate. Dr. David Walls, thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
I'm pleased to be here this morning, Jeffrey.
So did anybody 50 years ago say, I want to be a community organizer when I grow up?
Very few. Saul Alinsky recruited a few people who had that in mind, or at least thought they'd like to take a swing at it, and it's sort of grown from there. There aren't many academic programs in it. Social work has some, but by and large, it's been a practice that's been learned on the job, essentially through an apprenticeship and through mentoring by seasoned organizers.
As you were coming to the end of high school, for example, what were you thinking you were going to go into for a career, and it diverted into this, I guess?
Wow, that's a long time ago. I'm not sure what I started majoring in economics at UC Berkeley in my undergraduate work, but I ended up much more interested in political science and sociology by the time I graduated. And I went back to Washington then to work in this new war on poverty, which was getting started then in 1964. And I stayed a couple years in Washington and then got an offer to go work at the grassroots in the Appalachian coal fields of eastern Kentucky and southern West Virginia. And I decided to take that leap and get out of academia and government and get into real community organizing.
I'm glad you brought up the war on poverty. I was thinking about that the other day in the context of the ongoing discussion of how many other problems seem to come out of people growing up in poverty. When you think back to the war on poverty starting 50 years ago, what do you think about the progress that's been made, if any?
Well, there's been some progress, certainly, but it's discouraging to think that 50 years later, we still haven't made major inroads into poverty in a country as wealthy as ours. That was always a perplexity to me, and that's partly why I went back to graduate school, to try to figure out how that might be.
The term community organizing is well known, but for the folks who still sort of struggle with what it means where the rubber meets the road, how would you describe it to people? What do you do?
Well, what's distinctive about it is that we work to develop grassroots leadership and power for social justice, for racial, environmental, economic justice. And that's in the most general sense. And we do that through a rather disciplined methodology that's been developed out of this Alinsky tradition. There are several branches of it, but there's a difference between that and a lot of activism, which isn't necessarily concerned with winning in a reasonable period of time, winning some of your objectives so that you get the heart and encouragement to go on and become more ambitious.
You think activism without community organizing is a little more open-ended than that, a little more just to sort of beat a drum?
If it's primarily expressive and not oriented to achieving goals, that's something considerably different than what we try to do in community organizing. Of course, it's what the labor movement has done for many years. It's very instrumental in its work rather than expressive, let's say.
Can communities organize themselves without community organizers?
Well, I'm not saying that they can't, but there is a discipline to it. There is a way to develop leadership in a democratic fashion that's hard for communities to manage to reinvent by themselves. I'm not saying they can't do it, but they can do a much better job of it quicker, I think, with this methodology.
So with an organizer in place, I mean, is a community organizer more like a midwife than a parent?
You could argue that. It's a tough line. It's tough to say. An organizer never does what someone from the community can learn to do for themselves or can already do for themselves. But organizers are developing leaders from the community. That's their first job, not to do the work for anybody, but to help them find a viable path from their experience and gain confidence, gain experience engage in action, learn from action. That's how leaders as well as organizers develop.
Dr. David Walls is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, professor emeritus at Sonoma State University, the author of a book on community organizing. He'll be talking about community organizing, Fanning the Flame of Democracy, tonight at 6 at the First Congregational United Church of Christ in Ashland, invited by Rogue Climate. You can join our discussion here on the Exchange right now, 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. You've mentioned Saul Alinsky a couple of times. I guess we need to at least broach the subject a little further here, because he seems like one of those people whose name is probably better known to people on the right wing as a whipping boy.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Particularly with Barack Obama's presidency, because Obama had worked for a couple of years as a community organizer in the South Side of Chicago before he returned to law school and got into regular politics. And the ironic thing is that Alinsky died of a heart attack in Carmel in 1972. So Obama was 11 years old at the time Alinsky died, and they certainly never met.
Right.
And it's not clear that he is really much of an influence on Obama's thinking.
Well, given the connection with Barack Obama, then community organizing certainly got roughed up a bit in Obama's first election, along with some groups like ACORN, which was one of the major early community organizing efforts. I mean, have there been some lingering effects from that time, now almost 8 years ago?
Well, it certainly proved devastating to ACORN, but ACORN was not only done in by dirty tricks from outside. It made some mistakes in their own internal administration of the program. It was handled much too loosely. A relative of the director embezzled some funds, which was covered up, and then the board found out about that only later. And the organization was in precarious condition when all that happened, and it just didn't withstand that. Some of the chapters that were strong have continued on their own as individual state-level organizations.
But there's no national organization.
There's no national ACORN, and it doesn't look like there's going to be anytime soon.
You probably heard in that election campaign of 2008 some of the jokes about community organizers. And
yes.
There was Sarah Palin, governor of Alaska, running for vice president on the Republican side, and then Barack Obama, of course, running for president. The quote was that Pontius Pilate was a governor, and Jesus was a community organizer. Were there others that you were aware of?
Yeah, Newt Gingrich said that the election was a choice between American exceptionalism and the ideology of Saul Alinsky.
Uh-huh.
Which is a stretch there. But
all kinds of stuff out there at that time. What have been some of the issues and situations that have drawn you in as a community organizer over the years? What were some of the things that you felt other than, you mentioned poverty, so things that you had to get involved in?
Where I live in Sonoma County, in a small community, there have been efforts to develop low-cost housing. And when a developer came up with a proposal that was a little impinged on some environmental issues, there are about maybe you'd get 150 progressive environmentalists from Sonoma County opposing this project, much-needed project. And on the other side would be two priests, a Methodist minister, and me, saying, this is a good project. But we said, where are the 150 people who need that housing? They're not here. We don't know how to mobilize them. So I said, we need one of these organizations that can help people mobilize in their own interest for things that they need and want. And that's happened in our North Bay organizing project. We're working right now on a rent mitigation project, also known as rent control, and it's controversial, but we have maybe half of the city council in Santa Rosa ready to support an ordinance.
It seems like that issue in particular, affordable housing, is one that continues it doesn't go away, and it seems to be on the rise. There was recently some information this week about the high cost of rent as a percentage to income in the city of Medford, not very far away.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's an ongoing issue as real estate prices, for some reason, seem to continually defy gravity.
Yes.
And therefore take the rents with them.
And that's been happening in Sonoma County. People have been thrown out of apartments. The rent raised 25% to 50%. And we got a couple of these apartment units inspected, and they were closed down because of rats and mold and terrible conditions in relatively recently but cheaply built rental housing. So there are lots of problems with this, and it needs an active watchdog, including the people directly impacted by it.
Grab your headphones. We're going to take a call for you here and invite the listeners to join us on the exchange. Dr. David Walls is a community organizer for a long time, wrote a book called Community Organizing, used to teach college courses at Sonoma State about them, and will be speaking tonight, September 10th at 6 at the First Congregational United Church of Christ in Ashland about fanning the flame of democracy through community organizing. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Michelle in Talent. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks, Jeff. And thank you. It's great to have this topic on my morning drive to work. I have a question about the community organizing model, which I have deep respect for, but I'm wondering if you think that it needs to or has changed in any significant way as our society has changed.
In other words, has the model, the approach changed over the time?
Or does it need to?
Okay, good question. Thanks for that, Michelle.
Yes, you're very right. After Alinsky's death, Ed Chambers took over his organization, IAF, the Industrial Areas Foundation, and moved to what is now known as a congregational-based model. For various reasons, the churches were one of the few stable institutions as neighborhoods, particularly poor inner-city neighborhoods, began to disintegrate in the 1970s and 80s. So that congregational model has predominated. I would raise the question of whether we now need to look at a broader model that also involves labor unions, environmental groups, and a variety of other organizations. It's actually closer to what Alinsky started with in the back of the yards in Chicago in the late 30s.
Where do you turn in communities these days for something that served a function like what churches served back then, particularly as church membership has declined? And you mentioned unions as well. Union membership has declined. So it's a little harder to find central places to find people now, I would think.
Well, that is an issue, and that's why I think you need a mix, particularly on the coasts where there's a lot of people who are unchurched, at least in terms of membership in churches. So, and unions are reaching out once again to communities for support, partly because they've been in such trouble. And I think environmental groups see that their power can be multiplied if they bring in allies and people help each other out. So you're right. I think the times call for a new and fresh look at the model that's predominated in the last 20, 30 years.
Well, for that model, how have the changes in technology changed community organizing? I mean, this is not a culture where people tend to do a lot of face-to-face meetings anymore so much as communicates through screens. You get your Facebook and Twitter and all kinds of other social media. And, I mean, are these things that help the work of a community organizer or inhibit?
It can, but it can't substitute for them. I think you need this interpersonal relationship for the strong ties that are needed for sometimes risky and sometimes actions that would put you at some discomfort. But as Malcolm Gladwell said, the revolution will not be tweeted. And that doesn't mean you reject technology, but you use it to supplement the traditional techniques.
When I think about, in particular, when you're talking about the people who were not there to speak in Sonoma County for affordable housing, it seems like one of the major things that community organizers do then is assemble people who otherwise don't have a voice or at least haven't figured out a way to get the message communicated.
Exactly right. And particularly the Latino community has been one in Sonoma County that's been on the outside that is now getting to the inside. And we developed some very exciting leaders, including young leaders, through the Dreamer movement and so forth.
Has there been some reluctance when you mentioned Dreamers? So these are people who are officially undocumented. So, I mean, some reluctance to go public with causes for just that reason?
I would have thought so, but they've been very courageous. And as they've moved out, legislators have moved to cover them. And, of course, Obama moved to sort of bring them into a protected circle and let them go on with their college educations and become a great resource to this country.
I would assume you would not be coming to speak at the invitation of Rogue Climate if you didn't have a few thoughts about community organizing on the issue of climate change. What have you done thus far, and how pointedly have people asked for your assistance in getting into climate change issues?
Well, we had Naomi Klein come to Sonoma County and talked for us several months ago. We think it's an issue that we'll be working with our environmental group members on for, hopefully not some time to come. I know the urgency the climate people face they would probably not like that description of it. But as long as it takes, I think we'll be working with them on those issues because they are important to all.
If there is a single issue above all others you feel compelled consistently to get people organized to move on, what is that issue?
Well, I don't think there is one single issue. We reassess every year to see whether we want to change emphasis. We only take on two, three, four, five issues at a time. More than that, we don't think groups can handle. We don't jump on the issue of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the $15 minimum wage is a big concern. Housing, as you've mentioned, is a major concern. The rights of immigrants is a major concern. All of those are very important to us.
And how long has the North Bay Organizing Project been around?
Well, about 5 years as a public presence.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so
it took a couple of years to get it organized before that.
All right, so you it seems like you mentioned you're fully retired from teaching now, but you still keep your hands in the community organizing quite clearly.
Yes, it's very exciting to me.
David Walls, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He'll be talking about community organizing, fanning the flame of democracy tonight at 6 at the First Congregational United Church of Christ on Siskiyou Boulevard in Ashland, invited by Rogue Climate. Thank you so much for stopping by the studio to talk to us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you, Jeff.
It's been a pleasure.